Today, of course, is Columbus Day, and it's kind of ironic for me because just the other day, maybe about a week ago, my 10-year-old daughter came up to me and told me the most incredible story. She told me the story of Christopher Columbus and his raw courage in the face of mutinous sailors who were in mortal terror of sailing over the edge of a flat earth. And in fact, I thought, my goodness, for a 10-year-old, you're waxing eloquent about Christopher Columbus. And so I asked her, where in the world did you get that kind of information? Social studies. My teacher taught it to me. And I thought, how incredibly bizarre that a teacher in an age of enlightenment would teach such a thing. Because the truth of the matter is, for the first 15 centuries of the Christian era, unanimous scholarly opinion pronounced the earth spherical. In other words, everybody knew that the earth was not flat. In fact, the whole notion of the flat earth was concocted as a way to discredit Christianity, to point out that even after Christopher Columbus had established the world to be round in 1492, the church, by its highest authority, continued to erect theological barriers to this geographical truth. In other words, the church was bent on teaching flat earth, even though Christopher Columbus had demonstrated that the earth was a sphere. So this is a story, a myth concocted to discredit Christianity, and yet the irony of ironies is that even in Christian schools, Christian school teachers are teaching young Christian students this myth. Again, it is a complete myth. The ancient Greek philosophers knew that the earth was spherical. So, one of the things you have to do as a Christian, and this is the purpose of the show, is learn to put on your baloney detector. Because this ministry and this broadcast is all about discernment. Learning how to exercise your God-given discernment skills. You have to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. There are all kinds of myths circulating in the secular and spiritual world. And you have to know the difference between truth and error. Why? Because we are told in the Word of God to put on the belt of truth. It is the belt of truth that holds up the Christian's armor. And when that buckle breaks, the cloak that protects you against the devil's schemes simply falls from your shoulders and crumples to the ground. We live in an age in which lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. An internet lie flies around the world in microseconds. And so it is ever more important for you as the believer to distinguish truth from error. Because if we do not, we're going to fall for all kinds of things. We've got a guy coming to town. His name is Bishop John Shelby Spong. He is a former bishop in New Jersey. He's writing all kinds of books, and in his books, he is making the declaration. Here's just a couple of declarations he's making. There is no supernatural God who lives above the sky or beyond the universe. There is no deity watching over us from whom we can expect help. He says the idea of Jesus in perpetual orbit doesn't mean much to me. In other words, this guy's sort of a a fundamentalist on the left. He thinks when the Bible says Jesus ascended into heaven, that he's traveling out of our little universe right now and struggling from oxygen deprivation. Doesn't understand that Jesus, as the God-man, transcends time and space. In other words, he's not particularly sophisticated, but he's writing and speaking under the guise of sophistication, that we now live in a scientific world and there's no need or room for the supernatural. He says there's no record books, no heavenly judge. Heaven and hell are human constructs designed to make fair in some ultimate way the unfairness of life. Well, if you look at his background, you get some kind of an indication of where he's coming from. And we can all commiserate with him. He lost his father. He tells this story. A man given to alcoholism and gambling and cigarette smoking and profanity. And yet, when his dad died, the preacher talked about how this good Christian man was in heaven. And callers to Bishop Spong's home expressed their regrets and told him what a fine Christian man his father was, and that he should be comforted by the conviction that he was to receive his reward. And Spong says the words simply did not add up. If religion was designed to comfort me, he says, it failed. It brought me rather into intense emotional conflict. So he uses that experience that he had as a way of now getting rid of the supernatural. There wasn't any great relief in the story he was being told, and therefore the story, the biblical story, from his perspective, can't be true. And he's now going around the country asking disaffected Christians to consider his crucial questions. What will happen if our suspicions are validated and this defense shield called religion loses its credibility? In other words, we live in an age of scientific enlightenment. Religion doesn't work anymore. It's the belief of obscurantists. So can we still survive even though we've demonstrated that God does not exist? What will happen if the external supernatural God of religion dies? Can the human psyche bear the experience of self-consciousness without the narcotic of supernaturalism? See, this is the idea they have about the Christian God. And this was a bishop in an Episcopal church, by the way. This is the idea that he's communicating. Christianity is a crutch for weak-minded people. It's a narcotic. We take the narcotic and we feel good. But it's a delusion. And it's in this age in which God is, and by the way, Richard Dawkins is coming to town as well, and he wrote the book, which is titled The God Delusion. But in an age in which people are saying that God is merely a delusion, we have to demonstrate not a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue is true. The universe didn't spring out of nothing. That's what these people love to have you believe. Nothing creates everything. No, God created the universe. This should be self-evident to thinking people everywhere. Every effect requires a cause equal to or greater than itself. You don't have a cosmos without a cosmos creator. Don't make any sense. I mean, these people are 19th century thinkers living in the 21st century. That's the problem. And they're acting like The Christian is a 19th century thinker living in the 21st century. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We have all the evidence, all the support we could possibly want for a biblical worldview, and John Shelby Spong is headed in the wrong direction. Well, should I feel sorry for him? Of course. He's 78 years old, and he's facing his own mortality. Of course I feel sorry for him. But what I don't feel sorry for is the fact that he is a man with premeditation leading all kinds of people into a ditch. It was John Shelby Spong, again, the Episcopal Bishop of Newark, who said, "No biblical scholar thinks John wrote the fourth gospel. John's gospel does not contain a single word actually spoken by the historic Jesus," who said that the Gospels presented Jesus who was narrow-minded, vindictive, and even hypocritical, that no reputable scholar accepts the virgin birth. The miraculous works of Jesus, he said, are myth. Paul was a self-loathing, rigidly controlled, gay male. Now, he's talking about the guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles. The Bible is full of errors and contradictions. Anyone who holds that the Bible is without error is ignorant, culturally backwards, fearful, insecure, people who are not serious Christians, and who do not even read the Bible they pretend to defend. Now, I'll give them one point. I'll give them that last point. Christians do not even read the Bible they pretend to defend. He's generally right about that. Bibles are gathering dust. But what is not gathering dust are those who are discrediting the Bible. We live in an age of professors gone wild. Daniel Dennett, Christopher Hitchens, Bart Ehrman, Richard Dawkins, Bishop John Shelby Spong. They are touring the country. They're on television shows, radio shows, our newspaper talking about his venue overpopulated by people. Everybody wants to come hear him talk. They're intrigued. They don't know that he's talking nonsense. Why? They don't know truth. We have a tagline: because truth matters. We do what we do because truth matters. We defend the reliability of the Bible because truth matters. We defend the divinity of Jesus Christ because truth matters. We demonstrate that the universe is not eternal because truth matters. We demonstrate that the universe did not spring out of nothing because truth matters. We say how one views their origins inevitably will determine how they live their life because truth matters. We demonstrate that evolution is the great cosmogenic myth of the 21st century because truth matters. And ultimately, we ask people to live with eternity in mind because truth matters. John Shelby Spong is simply wrong when he says that heaven and hell are human constructs. The ancients knew better than to think such a thing. Without a hell, Hitler merely dies in the comforting arms of his mistress with no eternal consequences. The ancients knew better than to think such rubbish. Ideas have consequences. Life and death, consequences. consequences, not just for time, but for eternity. We do what we do because truth matters. And we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially because truth matters.